From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, December 3rd. Coming up, many Americans remain skeptical about a COVID-19 vaccine, especially in the African-American community. We'll learn more from SinoFX Public Media's Carter Barrett in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. An Illinois House panel is opening an investigation into a COVID-19 outbreak at the state-run Veterans Home in LaSalle. The outbreak has claimed 29 lives, and nearly 90% of the facility's residents have contracted the virus. Hannah Meisel has more.
Nearly a quarter of the residents in the LaSalle Veterans Home have died in just the last few weeks after a massive COVID outbreak began in late October. A full investigation by Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration is already underway, but that may take months to complete. State Representative Andre Tappetti, a Democrat from Chicago, says in the interim, the Illinois House Judiciary Civil Committee will launch its own investigation, a rare move.
How this virus can penetrate into a facility that is housing the heroes of our country is beyond me. And that's what the House Judiciary Civil Committee is going to find out.
Any hearings the committee may hold could be done during the legislature's expected lame duck session in January. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Despite a pre-Thanksgiving drop in the number of Illinoisans hospitalized with coronavirus, that number still exceeds the peak in hospitalizations from COVID's first wave in the spring. Illinois Department of Public Health Director Ngozi Ezike says the average length of hospital stays for COVID patients has actually dropped in the last 9 months, and she says better treatments for the virus have led to better health outcomes.
There is good news. We do know that you have a much better chance of surviving COVID-19 in the hospital now as opposed to wave one.
However, Ezike and other health officials are still warning that spikes in COVID-19 infections could overwhelm Illinois' healthcare system. As of last night, nearly 5,800 Illinoisans were admitted to hospitals statewide with COVID-19 infections. The Urbana Park District and Illinois Department of Natural Resources recently completed the first phase of a restoration project at Crystal Lake Park. Illinois Newsroom's Lesha Bushak has more.
The restoration project is part of a long-term effort to clean up the saline branch of the Salt Fork River after an ammonia spill damaged water quality and caused a fish kill in 2002. The project aims to improve the habitat for fish and birds like kingfishers and to increase diversity in native plants. But it will also help prevent water pollution from urban or agricultural runoff. Ted Gray is an engineer and ecohydrologist working on the project. He hopes that these practices can be implemented in a more widespread basis across central Illinois.
These measures don't resolve all those issues, but they do provide our aquatic life with more of a fighting chance to make it through those, you know, really difficult time periods when we have polluted runoff events happening after rainfall.
The park district plans to sample and track how the fish are responding to the restoration in the coming years. I'm Lesha Bushak, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign County reported 151 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. That brings the total number of cases reported in the county to more than 11,000. Champaign County's active caseload rose to nearly 900 after 4 days of declines. Macon County reported 4 COVID-19-related deaths yesterday and 73 new cases. Coles and DeWitt counties reported 1 COVID fatality each, along with dozens of new cases. Still to come, we'll learn why many in the African-American community are skeptical about getting a COVID-19 vaccine. That story from SinoFX Public Media is next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Drug manufacturers have released promising early results for their COVID-19 vaccines, but skepticism among Americans remains high, especially for African Americans. And as SinoFX Public Media's Carter Barrett reports, that's troubling because the black community has been hit harder by the virus than others.
Carmel, Indiana resident Mia McLendon told a group of reporters at a press conference that she signed up to participate in AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine trial to show others she believes it's safe. Still, as a Black woman, she says she's experienced skepticism firsthand.
Definitely. I have close friends. Even my husband is very reluctant about taking a shot.
McLendon says she wants to advocate for the vaccine since others are taking a wait-and-see approach.
They would make comments as, well, I will let, you know, other people go ahead and try to get that shot before I even attempt to do it.
A recent Gallup poll found that less than half of non-white American adults would be willing to receive a COVID vaccine, compared to 61% of white adults. The Indiana State Department of Health's plan for vaccine distribution includes messaging to communities of color. In a statement, the ISDH says it's still developing this strategy alongside partners. One of these partners is the Indiana Minority Health Coalition.
So you need an organization like ours to help bring balance, or bring the prospect of a sharper vision for what we're trying to do to this effort.
That's Carl Ellison, the coalition's president. He says convincing Black Hoosiers to get vaccinated is an uphill battle and will require a multi-year effort from the State Department of Health.
So you can't say, we'll do an awareness campaign for each phase of the rollout and we'll do it in 6 weeks or whatever. That's like, why bother? Because what you're trying to change is a fundamentally baked-in response to racism in the health delivery system, period.
Still, Ellison thinks it can be done with the right messengers, like leaders within the Black community, but they can't do it alone.
Are they going to give us some resources for an awareness campaign, but give us a nickel when we need $10?
Some experts have ideas for building trust and bridging the access gap, like mobile vaccination sites that can go to churches, grocery stores, and barbershops. One of these trusted places in Indianapolis is Jane Pauley Community Health Center. Dr. Sherry Lynn Macombe is the chief medical director here, and she's been talking with state officials about vaccine distribution.
What concerns me is not their efforts. What concerns me is that we have in this country a history that is not conducive to minorities participating in something that would save their life.
One example is the infamous Tuskegee study. That study enrolled Black men with syphilis who were told they would get treatment. Instead, researchers secretly withheld that treatment. The study ended in the early 1970s, well within memory for many.
No amount of media messaging can erase the past unless your media messaging and public messaging is specific to acknowledging what has happened in the past and how this is different.
Local hospitals in the city of Indianapolis have formally acknowledged racism as a public health issue. However, the state has not. Black Americans make up almost 20% of COVID deaths, but only account for 13% of the U.S. population.
It's not just, oh, these people just happen to all get COVID. And it's not, oh, these people are just living recklessly. You know, you can tie very specific government policy, historical action and inaction that have created circumstances where these populations of people are more vulnerable.
That's Yolanda Wilson, a bioethicist and National Humanities Center fellow. Wilson says the skepticism is justified, and to overcome the past, America needs to confront the intersection of health, discrimination, and trust head on. For SideEffects Public Media, I'm Carter Barrett.
Finally, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today's weather will be much like yesterday's, with partly cloudy skies and a high of 46 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Lesha Bushak, and Carter Barrett. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Molnine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.